Chapter 8. Where's the Money, Lebowski? Dealing with Spending Habits While Manic. When you're manic, money is quite literally no object. You see no reason to save money and every reason to spend it. This phenomenon could be called bipolar math, and it's all too real, unfortunately. Allow me to give you just a couple of oh-so-many examples. These are just the ones I hopefully miraculously escaped from. The year was 2022, and I was going through a divorce while dating the person who is now my fiancé. I had just decided I didn't want to move to Bosnia and Herzegovina after all. Instead, I wanted to see where things went with my situationship. But I didn't have a house and was living in a pull-behind camper. Coincidentally, it's worth mentioning that I bought that travel trailer at the height of my mania and the height of the used camper market, as everyone was anxious to travel during COVID. And as a result, it's now worth less than half of what I paid for it. But that's the least of the bad decisions I made in this story. Say what you will about it, it was a nice place to live. I just needed a stable place to park it, as I had been using an app called Harvest Host to find places to stay. It was great, as it allowed me to stay at a bunch of places for the low price of just buying some stuff from the breweries, wineries, and farms where I parked. The only downside was having to move the camper every day, as you were only allowed to stay in any one place a maximum of 24 hours. So I found some land for sale that wasn't too far from her place. Now, it's also important to note that one of my manic ideas that I haven't given up on was to start a dudist retreat center. And this is probably as good a place as any to point out that not all manic ideas are bad ones. It's just not the ideal time to make huge life-altering decisions. Maybe if this book does well, I'll get enough seed money to start it, though. But the whole idea was to find a beautiful wooded area that I could park my camper at and live full-time while building the retreat, which would have a large hall for hosting gatherings and shows and art displays and workshops on everything from bird watching to how to infuse food with weed. It would also have a number of small shacks for people to stay in while they were visiting. I would then chronicle me building them on my YouTube channel, of course. Now, this isn't all that far-fetched. I've already built a couple of these tiny house shacks, as I like to call them, and the place I found for my retreat was perfect, or so I thought at the time. It had about 2.5 acres of woods, a giant parking area, tons of amazing birds, I love bird watching, and an historic old barn that I could repurpose into that retreat center. The only problem was that it was listed for $100,000, when it should have been listed for about $50,000. But, as I have alluded to, money is no object when you're manic, and you also suffer from a kind of thinking where you believe if you don't act fast, then opportunities are going to slip away. So I found a friend who was a realtor and offered full price, with no inspections. Needless to say, they accepted my offer. There's a manic sucker born every minute, they probably thought. But after a night where I got so drunk that I Ubered 45 minutes home to a camper that had no heat in the dead of winter and no power to charge my dead phone, I realized I was a little too manic. It wasn't until then that I started to wonder if what I planned to do with the property was even legal, a little late in the game, but a good thought nonetheless. So I went to the county engineer's office and yada yada yada, found out that I wouldn't be able to legally do any of the things I wanted to do with the property without a variance from the township's board of trustees. So I panicked. I quietly removed my camper from the property and got my motorcycle off the land as well. Then I dipped out of the sales process entirely, leaving it to my realtor to let the sellers know that I was backing out. Thinking that was the end of it, I congratulated myself, prematurely I soon learned, on getting out of a terrible manic land deal just in time. Little did I know that technically I had breached a contract, allowing them to sue me for the difference between market price and what I had offered. Not only that, the statute of limitations on it was 6 years. So I don't know how this story ends just yet, but after some extremely nasty Facebook messages I sent, they accepted my offer of $750 in earnest money that I hoped would settle things, and I'm hoping that's the end of it. Only time will tell, however. Now, this is just the largest dollar amount I ever almost spent while manic, but there are tens, if not hundreds, of similar smaller stories just like it. Shortly thereafter, in fact, I got it in my head that I wanted to become a travel agent. Once again, it wasn't a super far-fetched notion. I have taken over 50 people back and forth between Bosnia and Herzegovina, so I thought having a niche travel business charging people for that sort of service would be a good idea. So I incorporated a business, in case you want to go. However, after watching one YouTube video that convinced me to virtually attend a free online intro course, I was ready to sign up for their months-long school to get certified as a travel agent. Now, I don't think this company is illegitimate, exactly. I just think they're a bit predatory, as they charge $6,000 for the package. After learning of this, my now fiancé sighed, and I knew I had fucked up again. I did everything I could to get my money back, but I had signed a contract and provided them with my credit card information, so they'd already taken my $1,000 down payment. Panicking, I took the approach of being as crazy as possible. I emailed and called them repeatedly asking for my money back or to go to mediation, wrote horrible reviews all over their social media accounts, and told them that I wasn't in my right mind when entering the contract and would be suing for the return of my funds. Shockingly, it worked, but it was far too close of a call. The funny thing is that normally I'm not terrible with money. I have an excellent credit rating with all three credit bureaus because I pay my bills on time and use debt responsibly. I've even had some business ideas that have worked out, if you can believe it. All that goes out the window, however, when I'm manic. Now, I will admit that I always like spending money, but I'm far less cautious about how much I actually have when I'm manic. Couple that last year with going through a divorce and having my ex-wife buy me out of my half of our house while I was selling a bunch of shit, and I suddenly had a ton of cash that was burning a hole not just in my pocket, but in my entire being. I had to spend money. I justified it any way that I could, including by trying to woo my situationship with nice trips and cruises. I just didn't let her know how fast the nest egg was being drained. And hey, I guess it worked, but I got lucky in that I had cash on hand and didn't have to go into debt. I did at least do some smart things to mitigate my spending, and I would highly recommend this to others, as I know of a guy on TikTok who is well known for spending $20,000 on crystals while manic in the hopes that he could sell them and start a business. He now has an amazing crystal collection and a lot of followers, but that's about it. I, on the other hand, had learned my lesson to some extent, and I spent my money mostly on either experiences I'd always wanted to have or things I could later resell. The camper is a great example of this. I also bought a truck to tow it. Are they now worth what I paid for them? Absolutely not. I sold the truck for less than half of what I bought it for, and the camper is still up for grabs as of the time of this writing, but at least I have some ideas of what to do with it and a place to park it for now. I'm lucky, though, that I don't hugely regret everything I spent the money on, as not everyone who goes through one of these episodes can say that, unfortunately. Now, you may or may not want to give up this much freedom, but there are financial tools out there that can potentially help you as well. I should note here that I am not a financial advisor and that I highly recommend consulting one before pursuing any of the ideas I'm going to share. But one of those financial tools at your disposal is a trust, in particular a spendthrift trust. The basic idea behind any trust is that you're putting money away for someone to use in the future. This could be for many reasons, but one of those reasons is if you are not mature enough or don't trust yourself enough to manage it on your own. A spendthrift trust is designed specifically for those reasons. They're often used to pass down an inheritance to someone who is immature so that they don't blow it all at once, hence the derogatory term trust fund kids. Unfortunately, when you're manic, you're really not much different than a spoiled 15-year-old kid when it comes to spending or investing for the future. This type of trust, however, can be managed by a trustee you know and have confidence in, whether they be a close friend or a family member. It can be set up to be dispersed at their discretion, or you could set it up to provide a certain amount at set intervals, such as monthly payouts. This could be a good option for you, particularly if you have a lot of assets to protect. Let's say, however, that you can't afford to set up a trust or don't have enough money to make one relevant. That means it's actually more important, in all likelihood, that you do something to slow down your mania-induced carefree spending habits, because a manic money-spending adventure is going to hurt your wallet a whole lot more. So what I would recommend would be to simply hand over all of the keys to your money to someone you know and trust, but who is also able to tell you no. By keys to your money, I mean your credit and debit cards, the passwords to all your online banking platforms, including your Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App accounts, and probably even your bank-accepted forms of ID. Now you might perhaps be thinking, why would I give up my ID, Arch? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because eventually you're going to go down to the bank in person for the first time since before the pandemic and withdraw money that way, bypassing all of your other safeguards. And because you don't have a trust, they'll have to give it to you. So give them your IDs too, because the manic version of you is much wilier and more determined than you could ever imagine, if you haven't gone manic yet. And as they say, where there's a will, there's a way. So don't give yourself the option and make sure there's no way for you to access your money without your trusted others signing off on it. Of course, you might be saying, but Arch, I need to pay for stuff still. And you'd be right. My solution? Let's just go find a cash machine and use hard currency for everything. Or prepaid credit cards if you just can't handle using cash. But either way, the point is for your most trusted significant other to allow you as much as you need to get through the week or day, depending on how severe your mania is and how compulsive your purchasing becomes. Kind of like an allowance, if you will. Sure, it's annoying and impractical, but blowing all your money on your amazing idea of starting an online shoe and costume rental business for aspiring clowns is going to be much less devastating over the long run than not having enough money for that iced latte because you spent it already on a dozen pretzels from the bakery you like to frequent to give to the homeless people you've recently befriended at your local park. Trust me, these are warnings that are born out of experience here. But what happens when you get that amazing business idea that you just know is going to earn you tens of thousands of dollars at the very least? And trust me, if you're manic and consider yourself to be even remotely creative and or have some business acumen, you'll come up with a business idea. I have two LLCs that can attest to that fact. Here's my advice though. For starters, recognize that it may or may not be a good idea, but regardless of whether it is or not, now is not the time to go fully into execution mode and start a brand new business venture. What I've learned to do instead is to see how far I can get with an idea before I absolutely have to spend money on it. Or better yet, I make my goal to spend $0 on a project unless I absolutely have to, and only then with my fiancé's approval, which isn't easy to get. It's important to recognize, though, that bipolar people are very creative, and they see connections sometimes that other people don't. If you have an idea, like I had an idea to write this book, then by all means go after it. Just don't spend any money. Or only spend whatever is absolutely necessary. But keep in mind that bartering is often more valuable than spending money on something. I wrote this entire book and published it without spending a dime. I'm not joking. My brother is a writer, so I got him to agree to edit the book on the hope of a future commission. I also had a TikTok friend help me with the graphic arts for the cover. Thank you, at Mary Theodore of TikTok. Then I self-published it using a pay-as-you-print model that required no funds up front, and doing the ebook and audiobook versions on my own. I'm doing all of the marketing myself because I used to be in marketing, and so I never had to spend a penny. It's not always the case that you have to spend money to make money. But whether I make any money or not is irrelevant. The important thing is that I completed a project/idea I had that I'm passionate about without spending any money, even though I was manic several times throughout the process. I have learned over time that good ideas have a way of becoming a reality with or without me spending my own money on them, for the most part. So find creative solutions and use your manic energy to plan and strategize so that when your mood comes back down, you're left with a blueprint for success instead of a lot of unpaid bills with nothing to show for them. To use another example, I built a little tiny house office, as I like to call it, in my backyard during the pandemic. It was so fun, I wanted to do it again. This time, however, I built a little shack down in the woods of southern Ohio. I spent little to no money on it as I salvaged most of the necessary materials for free. One day I just decided I was going to build it without spending money, and I slowly started gathering what I needed. I found some old lumber my grandpa didn't need for flooring, a roofer was getting rid of some unused shingles for a job, which I took, I found an old door in an alley, my friend Mike, who has a really cool YouTube channel called A Cabin in 50 Acres, which I can't recommend enough, had some old 2x4s that I framed it up with. Honestly, doing it that way was more fun as well. Advertising my YouTube channel is also what got me onto TikTok, where I now have 12,000 people who follow my account for some reason or another, and I'm very grateful for each and every one of them who does. But none of that would have happened if I had decided to just spend money on building a shack in the woods. So put it out there in the universe and see how far you can get sans money. You won't regret it. Another thing you won't regret is all of the money you saved by not rushing into a business venture while you're manic. Sometimes I compare bipolar disorder to a thief in the night because it can steal so many things from you. Friends, family members, careers, and significant others are all likely victims. But so is your literal cash. So protect yourself from manic you and make sure you have put whatever safeguards in place you need in order to secure your cash. Now that we've talked about protecting your cash, let's move on to another topic: how to ensure you maintain your ability to make more of it.